PayPay.org.
And thank you for joining Disability and Progress. And this is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. We bring you insights into and ideas about and discussions on disability topics. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show. And Charlene Dahl is my PR person and research woman. Hello, Charlene.
Good evening, everybody.
Today, we are speaking with Anne Chiappetta. Anne is the author of a new book that she's going to be talking about called Imperfections. Hi, Anne. Oh, I'm hoping you're there. You there, Anne?
Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Sorry.
Hey, it's okay. The world of, you know, all this electronic stuff. So thank you very much for coming on and spending some time with us. We really appreciate it. Why don't we start out by having you do your typical, tell us about how your beginnings started as a writer.
Sure. Thanks a lot for having me on. I know, how many times have I been on?
I don't know.
My third time?
I'm going to have to start billing for chocolate or something. I don't know. I think.
You're always so gracious, Sam. I love it. So I wasn't always a published writer. I didn't get published until after I decided that, you know, life just isn't long enough, and what am I waiting for? So I started out in 2016, and I haven't stopped since. I found the right people to help me publish my book. I found the right, I guess, the right amount of inspiration. I started out with poetry. Then I kind of spread out a little bit and experimented with a memoir about being blind and training with a guide dog. I did a short story collection, poetry and essays, and now I'm on to contemporary fiction writing.
What was the first piece that you wrote professionally?
Oh, boy.
Testing you.
Yeah. A long time ago, when I first started losing my vision and really kind of being in that position of, you know, who am I now? Like, where do I fit into this world? You know, how am I going to cope with all of this? I wrote a poem. And I don't even remember what the poem was, but I got into this little poetry review, and that was like back in the early 90s or mid 90s.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so that was like my first real kind of, you know, that actually gave me hope and kept me going.
Is it out there? Like, did you published it and everything?
Yeah, I don't. It was one of those little poetry journals that, you know, how you used to be able to print on a 8.5 by 11 piece of paper and then fold it in half and staple it.
Right.
It was one of those.
Cool.
It was like so it's long gone now. And,
aww.
Yeah. But so that was, yeah.
How many different styles or types of things have you written? Like, you've written, so you talked about poetry,
nonfiction, like memoir and essays and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the in terms of fiction, I'm kind of into urban fantasy right now, trying to develop that side of a genre for myself. and the contemporary fiction. I'm trying to develop who I am in terms of my craft, uh-huh. like so that somebody could read something and say, oh, that's an Anne Chiappetta piece.
There you go.
That's my overall.
Kind of like
goal.
Stephen yeah. King almost, you know, you can read yeah. and like, oh, that's Stephen King. Must mm-hmm. be. Cool.
And you can only achieve that through a lot of practice.
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that. So what's your favorite genre?
To write or to read?
Oh.
Both.
Both.
Yeah. Both. Okay. So, all right. So to read, definitely science fiction and fantasy. I love that. And that can incorporate, you know, everything from like Brandon Sanderson to Robert Heinlein. I mean, mm-hmm. all over the place. Even Nora Roberts gets into fantasy, and I love
yes.
her contemporary stuff. It's brilliant. I just love it. To write, I think I like to write like contemporary fiction. I like to incorporate different pieces and different genres, so it might have a little hint of romance or maybe a little bit of mystery or some suspense and drama in it. But I don't want to like put myself in a place where that's all I write.
Ah, yes. Kind of pigeonhole yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's wise. How does one do that, though? You know, not repeat themselves the same over and over and over.
It's hard, and I think this novel is very reflective of the first one, mm-hmm. even though it's different characters and stuff. And I realized that when I started out with it, but you know, I let it happen because I have to, you know, I have to grow, and the mm-hmm. only way I can grow is by doing. So I tried to change, you know, circumstances and things and plots and all of that, and some of it is similar, but I think it's different enough. Almost reminds me of a series.
Stay tuned. Mm-hmm. All right, Charlene.
What does it take to stay in the game as a writer?
Ooh. Oh, wow. That could... So, for... it definitely takes a large helping of curiosity, mm-hmm. and then everything else seems to come after that. It takes a lot of reading. You've got to be a good reader to be a good writer. It takes discipline. It takes, you know, it takes the ability to be able to say, okay, enough feeling sorry for yourself, mm-hmm. you know. You didn't get that many sales on your book. You have to keep going. So it takes a little bit of, you know, confidence in yourself. And also, you know, anything else that you have brought into your writing life from your other endeavors, because, you know, you're not just a writer. You may be a writer and you may be a law professional. You might be a writer and be a professor. Or you might, like me, be a writer and also have had a career as a therapist. So you bring all that in there, too. So
I suspect it's, you know, you have that bang of release when you release the book. But there must... maybe something may happen along the way to kind of, you know, give you another string of sales on a book. Does that ever happen? Or
yeah.
how does that generally
yeah.
work?
I think what happens is that you've got to plumb all different resources that you have. You know, first you might tell your friends and your family about your new book, and then, you know, you expand out to your networking. I even tell my Pampered Chef lady about my books.
There you go.
And sometimes I get a sale or two from that, because then she'll share it with all her clients or customers. And like if I go on one of her Zoom meetings, you know, or whatever at a hostess club or something, I'll share that. And then somebody will say, oh, you know, email me. I want to find out more about you. And then, boom, there's a sale. So it happens in a lot of different places. And it's always gratifying when it comes from, you know, one of those one of those connections.
So your new book, Imperfections, how did you come up with the name?
That was, that name for that book, I had that name. This, okay, so going back to the beginning, this manuscript sat in my manuscript closet for 15 years.
Is that common?
Yeah, it's common. got to dust it off, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I had to reread it. I had to decide whether or not it was worth updating, you know, like to make it, you know, because I wrote it
in the present.
On a NaNoWriMo challenge long, long time ago.
Right.
And I had to make a decision. Do I want to put the effort into it?
Mm-hmm.
And it already had the name Imperfections. So, yeah.
So how do you come up with any title for a poem or a book?
Interesting question. I usually go through iterations, at least three, before I find the right one. And that's just the way it happens for me. Like I might have the original name for the book when I make a file for it in my computer. Well, I'll just name it blah, 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 you know?
Right.
And then that doesn't last very long. And then once the book becomes more and more developed, I decide that it's got to have a new name. And then, you know, a couple months will go by and I'll play around with names. And then one will finally stick. I don't know. It's just, it's a mystery.
So Imperfections, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, I do have a little blurb. Would you like me to read my blurb?
Yes.
It's like a one-minute blurb.
Excellent.
Okay, let me get
go
to my blurb. Okay, hang on. Okay. For Lainey and Efren, affirming their love for one another means to leave it behind. Recovering from a random assault after relocating from New York to California, Lainey struggles to put her life back on track. Shane, the young man she thought was trustworthy, transforms into a possessive and cruel boyfriend. When Efren, Shane's older cousin, enters her life, Lainey grasps onto a shard of hope, falling in love. Shane's obsessive and abusive treatment of her foreshadows Lainey's chances to find safety and a future free of Shane's sadistic retribution. Will their love persevere, or will Shane's pervasive influence push Lainey and Efren to love secretly or forever force them apart?
Ah, thank you.
Sure.
So, you're right. This type of book is not necessarily new to you. How is this different from what other stuff you've written before?
Without getting into the weeds about, like, you know, the craft and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. I think the female character has a little bit of hidden strengths and slowly develops them over time, a little bit differently than in my first book. I also made her experience some trauma in a different way than the first book.
Mm-hmm.
At first, you know, she had a head injury and all that stuff. So
mm-hmm.
there was that. I also added a lot of other elements to the story because it was also updated and I had to figure out how to incorporate cell phones and technology
right.
and you know, and all that stuff. So it was very different from the book, the other, my first book, Hope for the Tarnished, was pretty much in the 1970s and 80s eras. This is updated. So that was interesting. That was a lot of fun, actually, because mm-hmm. I felt like a grown-up. I was a little bit more grown-up in that. And the love interest and what they go through, that was a little different as well. And interestingly, because the love interest is Irish. Efren is Irish. Mm-hmm. I actually, I have an Irish friend, and I said, could you please read this and make sure I didn't, like, you know, in it, you know, I didn't want to, like, insult the Irish people or anything. So he read it for me, and he was like, yeah, it's fine. It's good. I was like, okay, thank you. So he was my sensitivity reader for a lot of that cultural stuff that I didn't want to, misquote. Or
is that something you do often if you're going to step outside the box of what you're used to?
Yeah, it's something you need to do. You know, you don't want to misstate something or make an assumption or even a microaggression. You might not even be aware that, you know, you might have a little, there might be something that's, you know, misstated or, and you know, being a good writer means being responsible about those things.
So is Lainey your favorite character in this?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is Lainey your favorite character in this book? Or who is?
I think Efren is.
And why would that be?
And because he is like a grounding for her. Like, I wouldn't say he rescues her, but he's, I think he's left in the dark a bit about her trauma and stuff.
Mm, yes.
And then when he finds out about it, he could just said, oh, that's, well, no way. I don't want any part of this. This is too much for me. And that would have been a realistic response to something like that at the curve of the book, but
yeah.
He didn't. He stayed on and said, no, this is, I love you and I want to try to figure this out. So
what do you want people to take away with this book?
Oh, probably that, that there's hope, that, you know, even though life can throw you a lot of, difficult things and that you struggle, not to turn away, for the opportunity to heal and to move on and find love.
Who's the hardest character that you had to write about in this book?
The hardest character. It was Shane. I'm not used to writing such cruel, vindictive characters. And that really challenged me.
Mm. Is there anything more you want to say about this book, Anne?
I think that going to into contemporary fiction the way I have and trying to, you know, not be perceived as just a romance writer or just a fiction writer, it's been a big challenge for me personally, I appreciate the people who read my books. I appreciate the people who, you know, leave their feedback or rate my book on whatever their platform is, and just want everybody to know that being an independent author, you know, means that, you know, means all the control is mine, but it also means that all the marketing and all that stuff is also my responsibility. And to always, you know, be kind to people and artists, because a lot of times we're artists first and we're marketers second.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times we struggle with that. So.
Well, it's hard to be top at everything.
Yeah.
I hear congratulations are in order. Miss Third Place winner in the 2023 Homecoming Poetry Contest.
Yeah, that was a total surprise for me.
So the poem that you won on was called Where the Heart Lives, right?
Yes.
When did you write it, and what was the inspiration for joining this contest?
I wrote that poem, I believe it was back in 2021, and I wrote the poem because I I moved to Pittsburgh from New York, and my old office in New York was literally right beside the window. So I always heard the filter of life, you know, going on beyond my office, you know, birds singing, you know, the UPS driver, you know, cars leaving, you know, the highway, all this stuff. And I was like, and there was always action, and there was always, you know, auditory information coming in whenever I was in my office mm-hmm. doing work. And this poem was just a you know, an offshoot of that. But I wanted to end the poem with something that was something peaceful and something, you know, that resonated with you. Like, I've been hoping that when somebody would read the poem, that despite all of this noise and all of this stuff going on, that the important thing is the people that you love. And
is there a part you'd like to share with us?
Sure.
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, I can't read the whole poem because of copyright.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, once the poem is accepted into an anthology, they have temporary use of that poem exclusively until it's released in the book. And then after that, it reverts back to you.
And when are they releasing it?
She didn't say. Oprah Publications is a small imprint, like, and they do a lot of different types of chapbooks and fiction and nonfiction books. So I'll get more information. I think it's coming out in the spring, but I'm not sure when. Okay. I don't know if that's April or May or June. I'll get more information on that once they decide, you know, to start sending out the, you know, the spec of the poem, and I have to approve it and that kind of thing.
All right. Well, why don't you share a piece with us?
Sure. So here we go. Presence, human touch, holding hands before slipping off to sleep.
Oh, such a small piece.
I know.
Very powerful.
Yeah, I mean, it does give you a nice sense of this romantic type, you know, poem. Is that your favorite part of it?
Actually, my favorite part was the stanzas after that. But if I read those, I might as well just, if I went to read those other stanzas, I would have just been missing one. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get you in trouble. But that,
no, I don't want to get in trouble either.
So when does Imperfections come out? Has it already come out?
No, actually, it's in the process of being being line edited, and I expect probably the beginning of March is when the release will be. We're trying to make it near my birthday.
Aww,
so it'll be a birthday release.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
So is that when you do, you know, any talks and whatever, mostly is towards the front of that end of that book when it comes out, so you can kind of promote it?
Yeah, there's a whole level of things that you need to do or that you can do. But the first thing is to get reviews, advanced reviews, which I'm working on. And then the release itself. And I have a couple of appearances to make. I also want to work on doing some readings and my local libraries here around where I live. So I'm trying to establish that as well. Kind of got out of that because of COVID, and getting back into the routine, it's just been difficult. Mm. But I'm working on it.
I think for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You used to be part of a writing group. Are you still? And if so, how does that help your career?
Sure. I am still part of Behind Our Eyes. And I really appreciate the group because it's helped me be better at what I want to be better at. So crafting poetry, learning more about how to be a better fiction writer. I like helping other authors step it up. And so I do that by chairing the book launch committee, which takes authors who are members of Behind Our Eyes and allows them to create a book launch and practice public speaking, and we do it over Zoom. And I find that really gratifying because, you know, a lot of writers don't share their work because for fear of being criticized,
right,
or, you know, they're afraid to speak in public and things like that. And we try to offer them avenues to practice so that they can, you know, branch out a little bit and share their work with other people.
And I suspect people who are, I mean, I suspect it's hard to find the right writing group. I don't know this, but is it so that the writing groups have different complexities of maybe some are a little higher caliber than others, or they're for more advanced writers than others? How does one find a writing group that is appropriate for their where they are?
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort and exploration, and being honest about what you need as a writer and how to find the right groups. Before we had this big pause, with COVID and everything, it was a little easier to make contact with, like, for instance, your local libraries, or maybe even a local writers group or poetry group that might have developed in your local area. We're getting back to that now, so it's getting a little easier. I first started out in a critique group that met via email because we none of us could find a, you know, in-person thing that we liked, and we were all like-minded. We all wrote either horror or fantasy, uh-huh, or science fiction of some kind, and so that's another thing. Keep in your genre if you can. If you write poetry, join a poetry writing group. If you write memoir, try to find a memoir writing group.
But someone like you've kind of extended beyond, you know, you're in a couple different genres. So how do you?
All right. So I have a poetry writing group.
You split it up. Okay.
Right. And then I've got people that, you know, we trade fiction and stuff. So I have another set of people for that. And then I also sometimes do focused workshops. And you do have to pay for those. However, if you follow somebody who writes and who also instructs, mm-hmm, and you like them, and they offer a workshop, and say it's like, you know, a 2-hour workshop, and it's $50. It's worth it because you'll get more out of that 2-hour session with someone that you like and admire and who you feel helps you than if you didn't. And it's a good way to invest in yourself. So I've done those too, and those are very helpful.
So what I'm taking away from this is, if you're just starting out and you're in a certain genre, stay with that genre as far as in regards to the writing group critiquing. But if you want to dabble in a lot of different things, you may have to go off and find different writing groups to share that with. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. It's really hard to, like, if you write nature poetry, you don't want to be in a group of writers that write avant-garde or, experimental pieces.
Right.
It's not going to, you know, somebody's writing a sonnet and then you're there, you know, writing haiku. I don't think it will work very well. I mean, some of it might, but.
Well, there might be a group that does, you know, a mishmash of stuff. But, yeah, who knows, I guess.
Yeah, it's about the people too. You've got to connect with the people that you're sharing with and feel safe in there and feel validated. I know people have told me about their negative experiences about not being validated or feeling safe.
Yeah.
They have valid points, so it's a hit and miss. You've got to do your homework and hope for the best. Take chances.
So, Anne, what is new on the horizons for you after this?
So, I don't know. I think I'm probably working on getting another poetry book situated. But that probably won't be known till next year. I mean, I'm going to, we just moved. So from one state to the other. So we're still putting down our roots and getting all my ducks in a row and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But so I haven't done much with writing other than getting the book launch ready and that kind of thing. But
it feels to me though, you kind of branch off into a lot of different things. You dabble in a lot of different things. Like you said, you do kind of take chances. How do you decide what you're going to do next or what you might do that might not be as good for you?
I don't know. But I will tell you, I don't believe in writer's block. And I believe that this has something to do with your question. But, just give me a second. So I believe that whatever is ready to be written will be written. You know, it will come out of my head and it'll happen and I'll get an idea. And my creative process, I don't question it anymore. I just let it happen. And, you know, if I'm going to be writing, you know, X or Y, then I write X or Y. If I feel like I have some creative stagnation going on, I will invest in like a writer's workshop or work on somebody else's work with them or do something that's creative but not pressuring me to do this because, you know, I feel like I have to do it. And I think that's part of it. It's it's taking the discipline and taking the creativity and molding them together into something that just works for me.
And do you have your name on other books that you've written with people?
I I helped edit a guide dog user's handbook for GDUI.
And
my name is in that. And I have I did the introduction to that book. And I think that's it so far. I would love to collaborate on a fiction book with somebody, but that's a lot of, you know, wishing.
So how does that work if someone wants to collaborate? Do they usually go to you? Do you go to them and say, hey, let's write something together?
I don't, I've heard a lot of different versions of how it works. I think you just have to find somebody who wants to, you know, experiment with you and take a mm-hmm. chance and see what happens. Go for it and see what happens.
Tell me again when the book's approximately scheduled to be released and how people can get it.
Okay, so we're working on a March 1st release of Imperfections by Anne Chiappetta. My website is www.annechiappetta.com.
You better spell that last name there.
And you'll be able to get my books on, you can get all my books on Amazon, Kindle, all ebook platforms, Smashwords, and most of my books are available on Audible. We're waiting for Hope for the Tarnished to be released on Audible, hopefully in the next couple of months as well. And then the Audible version of Imperfections will follow sometime in the fall.
I've probably asked you this before, but what about Bard?
So all of my books, except for the last two books, are all up on Bard as
cool.
well.
Cool.
And Bookshare.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. So anybody who wants to get deep into the author of Anne Chiappetta can do that.
Yes.
And although it's nice if they buy the book. But yeah, getting it on audio, is it hard to get onto Bard?
If you do, there's two ways you can do it. You can ask people to request the book, and then it goes into the Bard queue, and then it takes time for them to assign it to a studio to record or whatever. Or like me, I do it privately, and then I send the NLS the audio files, and then they have us record a couple of little blurbs. So that they can, you know, put it up, and then they format the files, and that way. But they do charge you for that.
Ah, by the way,
it's a nominal fee. It's right. not that much.
If anybody doesn't know what Bard is, our National Library Service, NLS is National Library Service, and they have Braille and digital audiobooks. That they host on their website, and it's for the blind and visually impaired, probably for dyslexic too. I'm trying to remember who all qualifies for it, but they're free books that are in Braille or audio that give people a chance to be able to read those books, that can't just go to the library and pick up a book and say, I'm going to read this now. So that's kind of nice. Is there anything more you'd like to tell us about you or your book before we go?
Just that. I hope that people are interested in it. And if anybody has any questions, you can definitely contact me from my website. And I look forward to getting some feedback.
Will you give us your website once more?
www.annchapetta.com. You want me to spell my name out?
You better.
All right, so it's annchiapetta.com.
People like me that are bad spellers. Thank you, Anne. I always appreciate you coming on, and it's been fun. And good luck in the future of your writings.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate you. Thank you, Charlene.
All right. Excellent. Well, we always love having her on. She's always fun, and her books are interesting. So I want to remind you that if you'd like to hear something on disability and progress, you can email us at sam@disabilityandprogress. No. Where am I? Boy, I've been out, haven't I? You can email us at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. That's it, right? Right. Well, you laugh, but let's see when I quiz you next time.
Yeah.
disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. You can send your feedback and your email and suggestions to us. We love to receive them. I do get back to you, even if it's not the very next day, so be patient, please. And we always love to hear feedback. But thank you for listening. Listening to KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. This is Disability and Progress. And we hope to hear you back next week or see you back next week. You can email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com and join me and Charlene Dahl back here. And you were listening to Joseph Baird, and we were speaking with Anne Chiapetta about her book, Imperfections. If you have a suggestion you'd like to hear us more or more of, please email me and talk about it. Thanks for listening. Good night.
KPI.